The Lord is saying, church, the wake is over. The wake is over. It's time for us to pray and believe God and also become proactive in our outreach. I think the Lord is trying to show us that, yes, you're on right course. I believe God is going to break through. And you know what? Same old is not going to cut it any longer. Amen? The wake is over. And we believe that we're going to speak life into our neighbors and our friends and our family. And we're going to say, wake up, wake up, wake up. The only kind of burial is going on around here is the old man. Yeah, we'll bury the old man. We want you to rise up in Jesus' name and enjoy the presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah.
Greetings and welcome to the Family Worship Center Media Ministry, coming to you from the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Today, Pastor Eric Orme will be preaching a message entitled, Are We Beside Ourselves?
If you would like a copy of this message or any other message from this ministry, please contact the church office at area code 506-755-3759.
Now, here's Pastor Eric Orme with today's message.
Just let me tell you a little story that might make sense a little later. But while I was home, I visited my dad. My dad got a wealth of stories and information and experiences and stuff. Every now and then, he'll tell me one. So the other day, for some reason, he told me how years ago, you know, they logged in the woods in that wintertime, summertime they fished. So in the wintertime, of course, the horse was a very important animal. And that's how they got the logs out of the woods and out to the land wash, so they could tow them into the mill in the summer. So selecting a horse, finding a good horse, was a bit of a task. So my dad left our hometown and went to Hare Bay to look for a horse. And while he was there, he stayed overnight with the pastor and told the pastor, when I harvest my potatoes this fall, I'm going to bring you over a sack of potatoes. I'm going to give you a sack of potatoes when I harvest the potatoes. He said, but you know what? He said, I never did it. Now, it was a big task to do it because he didn't have a car. So to get him over there, you know, it was a big effort to do it. But it was a good thought, but he did make the commitment. But you know, he said, the strange thing about it is nothing ever grew in my potato ground again after that. Now, I learned that the hard way. Because as a teenager, you know, sowing, that became an exciting thing to do. Wow. So myself and my cousins, we worked really hard. And we sowed that ground one time. Nothing grew in it. So when he said, I knew he was right. Yeah, you're right. So he said, about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. Now, that was like 1,000 years ago, as it feels like. I was a boy, they'll tell you. And he said, I was in a community where the daughter of that preacher was. And I made sure I got the sack of potatoes and gave it to the daughter. I said, Dad, have you gone back to that ground and sold it since? No. I said, well, you got to do it. You got to do it. I mean, wouldn't it be cool to find out that, wow, that ground brings spring for the harvest now, wouldn't it? And if I can get the chance, I'm going to sow a few spuds in that soil again. I believe there's a great principle there. You know, we're in a season of seed time and harvest. The principle of God's laws, both natural and spiritual, they run parallel. And to get a harvest, there has to be some sowing that go on. And I found, personally, that when I sow into the heavenlies, when I sow my praise and adoration heavenward, lately, the last couple of days I've come in here, and I just this unction came on me to shout. There's an unction that Linda may have heard me. I know you were talking to Melody one day, but it just came on me to shout. There was something that just needed to be released. And I found myself just shouting and praising the Lord. And I found I could reach notes that I normally couldn't reach. Woo! I was so excited. And that's unusual because I like a crowd. But I'm finding times alone when it's exciting to just shout unto the Lord. So into the heavenlies. So a praise. So a shout. Do you know what? It could be a closet place. It's a form of prayer. And God promises us to bless us openly when we seek Him in the closet place, when we praise Him in the silent, in the secret place. So I believe that's what happens in the dynamic of a particular gathering. I believe every time we come together like this, and it might seem like happenstance. It might seem like some ad hoc concoction of personalities that just so happened showed up together, and here we are. I don't think so. I think this is so ordained. This is so much. God says, okay, now we started. Sherry prayed. We shut the door behind us, as it were. Once you've gathered the vessels, shut the door behind you. Remember Sunday morning? The prophet said, gather the vessels, and you might think you don't have much in your temple right here. You might think you, but in obedience and by faith, would you just gather some vessels? And when you've done that, shut the door, because you're convening something now, and there's a miracle about to take place. And God says, you got my attention. You got my attention. In fact, if you're going to talk about me and meditate on me, I've got this book that I break out, and I write it in a book called Remembrance. That's what He does. Is it just happenstance? God forbid we see it as that. This is awesome. There's been things declared, and there's been things said, there's been expressions made, and we've sown into the atmosphere, we've sown into the heavenlies, we've prayed over people, we've declared things, we've said things, and God says, I'm in agreement with you, and in fact, I'm so attracted to it, I'm going to write it in this book called Remembrance. So we ought not ever to take it for granted. Wow. This is a wow moment. This is a wow moment. Don't think things never got done as not getting done this very moment. We're finding out at times in the office with people. Just today, it was a wow moment. It was a wow. Lynn and I came out of there. Whew, man, we felt so good. You just knew you just knocked the blocks off the devil. You just knew. You just knew you'd just give, whoa, a good old kick to the old slew foot. It was awesome. It was awesome. You know what? God help us. Help us deepen our understanding of spiritual matters and spiritual warfare. Because when we walk in the knowledge of it, then we're more effective. And you know what I'm saying? So, let me say this. In 2 Corinthians, I'm going to tell you why you're nuts. Chapter 5. Here's what it says. I trust you don't perceive me as being too elastically speaking. But I love it. I love it. I think it applies. But here's what Paul is saying. He says in verse 13. Now, we could dig deep and really bring more clarity to this, but for the sake of time tonight, and we're not going to go there that deep with it, but we could if you want. But he says, for if we are beside ourselves, in other words, if we're nuts, okay, if we're beside ourselves, I get beside myself sometimes. Last couple of days I was beside myself in this church. I was beside myself. And Paul says, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Aha. It's for God. Now, we had somebody say to us, you Christians, you know what the problem is with you Christians? You go, look, I found Jesus. Look, and you're waving your arms. You're saying, you found this joy. You got all this experience. And look what I found. Look, she said, and people that are outside, she said, or don't have this experience, saying, what's wrong with you? Get a hold of yourself. You know, and this person said to us, you know, that's divisive, and that's, you know, you're putting other people down when you do that. You're saying to them, look what we got. You don't have it. You don't have it. Look what we got. This is what this person said to Lynn and I, okay? But listen to what the next part of the verse says. It says, or if we're of sound mind, it is for you. If we are beside ourselves, it is for God. I'm telling you, when I'm shouting, and when I'm praising, and I'm lifting my arms, and I might look foolish to the world, but it's for God. When we get on like we get on, it's for God. And I'll tell you something else. The world would want us to take criticism, pardon me, and to stop doing that. The spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of Antiochus would want us to stop that sacrifice of praise, to remove that daily sacrifice because it's for God. See what I'm saying? It's for God. When I'm beside myself, I'm telling you right now, anybody's going to be praising, anybody's going to be shouting, you're down a few notches in the eyes of the world. You're either crazy or you're boasting. And you're trying to marginalize them because you're saying, look how good I am, look how bad you are. Lies. That's lies. And the individual making the accusation meant well. They were not even aware of the real spirit behind the accusation. Well taken. We just laugh with her. But I could see the spirit behind that. The spirit behind it is, take away the altar, the place of presenting yourselves a living sacrifice. Now, don't get me wrong. A living sacrifice is also when we walk very soberly. When we walk very, what was the last part that said, a sound mind is for you. Yes, we have to be of a very sound mind and know how to be instant in season, out of season, know how to speak the word, give the reason for what we believe and how we believe, and absolutely. But, you know, this thing is real. And you can't have that reality. You can't have that reality living, that living Christ in you. That breath of God that breathes life into my spirit man and have it not affect my soulish man. There's no way while I'm still in this body that I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be moved. Otherwise, I wouldn't be moved when I was in the world and I'm going to a hockey game. I mean, everybody would be, you know, he shoots, he scores. Hey, Ray, oh Ray. And he's coming across the blue line. And I think there's a penalty going under. Oh, can you hear all over the house? Oh, Ray, oh. I mean, no, that's not real, right? It's real. I mean, parents get involved. I mean, you know, I mean, I was never involved in sports, and my son loved badminton and table tennis and stuff, and he would have to drive me home. He would come over, "Dad, stop it. God, don't do it. Dad, I would get hurt. I would go home. I can't help it." I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, so we are emotional people. So when I'm moved by an amazing reality, then why should I remove that? I mean, even the world itself is moved by things. Mind you, it's a soulish, but we still got a soul, right? We still got a soul. And if your soul, your makeup, is if it's permissible for the world to go off their head about sports, why can't we be beside ourselves about the gospel? About the reality of Jesus. About his goodness. About his love. And what he can do and how he brings us life and revelation and health and wholeness and, yes, all that good stuff. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's be sensitive to what goes on in the spirit realm. It's nice to be conscientious over, you know, hearing the voice of the Lord, right? We know he speaks in a still small voice deep within, because he speaks in our spirit man, and he speaks out of where he's enthroned. He takes up residence within us, right? And that's where he speaks from, and we hear that still small voice. But we got this, we're caught up in this tug of war, as it were. We're so earthbound, you know, we're so to be moved by, influenced by, affected by the natural realm, to the point where we become subject to the visual. We become subject to and bound by what we visually see. For example, you know, for me to be part of a gathering, let's take it a little different, another different direction. For me to walk into a hospital, and you see the visual, the desperation. You know, we need to be a people that can see by way of the Spirit what's really going on. What is my authority diminished now? Is there a listening of power now available to me? Is the Word of God not as strong now? Do I have an understanding of the Word that I can go in and I can say? You know, I mentioned to somebody just a couple of days ago how a good friend of ours, we've seen, you know, like a lot of miracles, great miracles, phenomenal miracles, and we've seen situations where we never got the answer that we were looking for. But that's not going to move me. That's not changing my focus, my love for God. It's not going to change eternity and the Word of God. None of that. That's not going to move me, and it didn't, even back in our most childish level of faith in God. I thank the Lord for that, because the grounding of the Word of God is such that when things that are visible are not understood, it's not going to move us off the foundation of what the Word of God says. We leave that with God. If we don't understand it, we leave it with God, and we move on and still walk in the truth. But we ought to be on a journey of progressing and advancing in the knowledge that makes us more and more effective in the kingdom, and getting, seeing the revelation of the Word, the new revelation, become practical in our lives. And we need to know. You know, I love the song that, you know, I found myself singing that in prayer this week. Like, you know, there's an army rising up. You know, an army. When an army has risen, it's effective. It's got certain skills. It's got strategic warfare understanding. You know what? Just to say we are an army and not be soldiers. You know, I long for the day when we understand what's happening from moment to moment as a church. So together, when certain things are happening, we would understand and know that that's a power of darkness. That's a spirit of wickedness. That's we would, by way of discernment and word of knowledge, we would understand things. And, you know, and there will be an automatic, you know, we wouldn't have to talk it through. We would know by way of the Spirit. And one way is that we praise our way through it. To clean the house, praise. Praise. To clean the house. When I can't feel anything, when there's no emotions attached to it, the Word of God is still the Word of God. And I can shout the Word. I can speak the Word. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. I'm quoting the Word. The devil hates it. When I sing the Word and I shout the Word, when I'm not feeling a thing. But if someone else got to keep shouting a praise until you start getting your emotions moved, okay, I'm getting my breath. You're not a soldier. We're ready to advance. Get up and move out. So whenever something is trying to steal from the glory and the praise of God, like an army, we rise up. And not listen to any lying spirit. Not listen to any accusation. Not listen to the accuser of the brethren who says, remember what you did today? Oh, you know, I saw what you did last summer. Or I know. And that enemy tries to accuse you and beat you down, and all of a sudden your arms are longer than they've ever been toward your knees, and they feel like lid, and there's no smile. You're condemned. I can't praise now. Liar. He's always worthy of the praise, no matter what you feel like, right? And the strategy is, as a soldier, I might even have a bullet hole somewhere. I'm not going to lie down and cry for mommy. No. I rise up in Jesus' name. I've been trained. I've been equipped. And I'm going forward. And the enemy is defeated already. But the lying spirit says, I'm defeated. The lying spirit says, you no good to try anymore. You can't shout. You can't praise. Everybody knows how bad you are. Oh, yeah, all right. But the Word of God says, I'm an overcomer. I'm victorious. And the enemy is defeated. Don't give him power by listening to his lies. Negative faith is to believe the lie of the devil. That's negative faith. He only gets the power, renewed power, from what I give him back. It's been taken from him, but we can give it back to him by having faith in his lies. Right? So I'm not going to give him anything back that Jesus took from him. So I rise up in Jesus' name. And I'm walking in the Spirit. And I'm declaring the truth. And I'm going to declare the Word of God. And I'll tell you what. There's times, I mentioned Sunday, I must have preached between 400 to 500 times. And you know what? There's a good many times when I get up to preach and I didn't feel very much. And I didn't feel like doing, because I was so beat down and knocked down by the devil. I was so accused by the devil. But in Jesus' name, I got up and I was bleeding. And there was all kinds of things going on. And I was bleeding more than some of you know. And I was really bleeding. I could get more graphic, but I won't. But the truth is, I was bleeding. I was beat up and battered. But I started to declare. And people looked at me like they were about to lynch me right after. But in Jesus' name, I begin to declare the word and preach what the Bible says, what Jesus said, and that we are overcomers. And before you know it, I'm feeling strength come in my belly. Before you know it, I'm experiencing the joy of the Lord. Before you know it, there's an unction there, and there's anointing, and there's power, and the Spirit is giving witness. There's a witness of the Spirit. But I began in the flesh. Because I still got the same power in the flesh. But the good news is, the Spirit gives witness to the flesh. Unless we're a computer. But we're more than that, amen? We are soldiers. And we're always overcomers. And as we go on, the Lord wants us to know things. He wants us to learn things. He needs us to be equipped. So that when that power of the enemy that wants to steal the daily sacrifice, that the place of prayer, the place of dying to self, the place of praising when it, just because he deserves it, we will recognize that. We will recognize that. And so I'm going to praise anyway. I'm going to praise anyway. I'm going to shout and sing and dance and run and clap my hands. All of that. Not because I feel it. But the good news is, you will feel it. You begin in the flesh, you will end up in the Spirit. But if the motive is only that, then we're still got it wrong. That's just a side benefit. The motive is to give praise and glory to the one whom is due. Amen? You see that? And it's in that realm of equipping as an army, we'll do great exploits for the Lord. We'll see great things done for God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you got something.
Thank you, Pastor. We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like a copy of this message or any other message, you can contact us by writing to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 1092, St. George, New Brunswick, E5C2G8. Or call us at area code 506-755-3759. You can also visit us online at www.stgeorgefwc.ca. You can also find us on Facebook. On behalf of Pastor, staff, and congregation of the Family Worship Center, we would like to welcome you to join us as we all meet together at 10:30 a.m. right here at the Family Worship Center in St. George, New Brunswick. Until next week, God bless, and have a blessed week.